family, whatever God lays on your heart. I believe they have a video. Praise the Lord, everybody. Well, I have my full cup of coffee today. Praise the Lord. It's really, really good to be here. And I know that's what people say. But, you know, when you've been away for a while and you haven't experienced Sunday night church in the U.S., in Ohio, it's really good to be here. It's really cool. I turned around at my wife and I said, this is cool. This is just cool, you know, just singing songs and just getting dressed up. And, you know, all these things you do every Sunday, I don't really do, you know, ties and all this stuff. And it doesn't look like this, but this is cool. This is cool. And it's a privilege to be here. Privilege to be here. And all these kids. Hey, I understand why you sit on that side so you can view all those grandkids over there. And, you know, David doesn't know this, but he's my best friend. And I've had to work the hardest at this friendship. He doesn't know it yet. Sometime you let him know. Hallelujah. I saw him making friends with a little girl this morning. Y'all might know about that. I don't know how that works here. Praise the Lord. Hey, forgive me this morning. I did not get to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for the offering that you sent to Vietnam and all of the things that you gave us. I joked around with Sister Roberts that you caused a fight in my home because we were fighting over that chocolate. It was chocolate, and my wife took all the vitamins, and she went and hid them. You know, I took the chocolate. I started dividing them. I get one third, and then you got to pay 10% to me, so I get a little more than one third. Hallelujah. And then I'm in the, and we, oh man, it caused a mess in the house. I started seeing wrappers, a trail of wrappers going all the way up to my daughter's bedroom into her bed. I want to say thank you. That was very, very kind. And sometimes we do feel very secluded, and those gifts, they mean so much to us. They mean so much. And I think my daughter got a lot of gifts, and as a parent, that means a lot. That means a lot. Y'all are a giving church, huh? That means you're a blessed church, right? Praise the Lord. Now, when it comes to, you know, tithes and offerings, as the pastor, I don't like to talk about that. But when I go to somebody else's church, I feel at liberty to talk about tithes and offerings. But I know y'all are a giving church. With everything I see, you're giving to. And those prayers over the offerings, oh, good Lord Jesus. Mercy. If I pray those prayers, I'll be at the mailbox every day. Something's coming. Something's coming. Something's on the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And, you know, I had my coffee, forewarning, and typically I told your pastor that typically they only let me at the church one time and then they send me down the way. So this is the second time. I feel like family. I feel comfortable. And, you know, they told me back home, they said, if you ever get comfortable, watch out. Watch out. He said, if you're uncomfortable, you ain't anointed at all. But if you get comfortable, you're anointed. So I think I'm going to be anointed today. Hey, I want to show, sister, thank you, if that video plays. This is about a 5-minute video of just what's taking place in Vietnam. We're very excited about what the Lord's doing. It's a little informative of what's happening. So if you don't mind, you could play that.
For the first time in the history of the United Pentecostal Church, there is now a missionary permanently living within the country of Vietnam.
Praise the Lord. We're the Barsadi family coming from Vietnam. We've been living here for 3 years, and we have seen God do many, many powerful things. Despite living in one of the world's only communist countries, facing many persecutions and many, many pagan religions, we have seen the hand of God at work.
At this present time, all of our churches are underground, but we have seen the hand of God in many powerful ways. From the first day arriving until now, God has opened up so many miraculous doors. We have seen supernatural miracles, healing, people being set free from demonic possession, baptisms, and the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. So many lives have been eternally changed, and the Vietnamese people will never be the same. One of our first converts, Gulban, told us about how many years she had the same dream of receiving a diploma, but every time she looked at it, she realized it was fake. After she heard this apostolic message in this born-again experience, she said she never had that dream ever again. From then until now, she has become one of our main translators and a vital asset to the ministry of Vietnam and around the world. Through her efforts, many have come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over the last 3 years of those that we have personally baptized, in those that they have 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 baptized, has now reached over 800 people that have been baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, reaching into 10 different nations. What we see at our baptisms is many receive the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. The mute begin to speak, the deaf begin to hear. Those are leaving the hospitals from sickness, being baptized, never returning to the hospital again. Mental illnesses are made whole. Demonic possessions are cast out. We feel the answer for the harvest in Vietnam is within Vietnam. The best way to equip the Vietnamese people is by training and teaching and sending out laborers into different fields to teach and to baptize. In 1 year, we have seen our converts teach over 997 Bible studies. All of our converts go through a 12-week series of 50 hours before joining our Bible School Purpose Institute. We have currently started our fourth Purpose Institute Apostolic Bible School Training Center, where we are training laborers for the harvest that will go and train others. From our Purpose Institute training, we have enrolled over 100 students. As a result, we are now converting whole families and whole churches. Several head leaders from different Christian organizations, such as Full Gospel, Baptists, Mennonites, Seventh-day Adventists, Lutherans, and etc., have all been baptized in the name of Jesus. Last year, for the first time within Vietnam, we were able to graduate 5 from an apostolic Bible school. Also, we started the United Pentecostal Church of Vietnam. We licensed our first 3 ministers, being approved by Regional Director Lyndon Cham and the Supervisor of the Work of Vietnam, Brother David Dong. One of those that was licensed was our first convert, Gopan, in whom God is using in a powerful way.
It's our vision for the future of having a permanent Bible school training center where we can bring people from all over the nation in and through much prayer and training and impartation into this generation of laborers to go and reach the harvest.
It is also a vision for us to open up a Christian faith school where we can train the next generation of Vietnamese. This school would be for primary school kids, high school kids. It's a vital asset. 25 million.
The fields are white and ready for harvest for the greatest Gentile revival that Vietnam and Southeast Asia has ever seen. Partner with us together to send out laborers into the 63 provinces of Vietnam that make up 100 million souls that have never heard the gospel before Jesus comes back for his church. The vision is big, the work is big, but God is bigger. On behalf of the Barsadi family and the many lives that have been impacted and those that will be impacted in the future, we say thank you for partnering in the harvest of Vietnam. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the work in Vietnam is very, very brand new. It's very new. And we went 3 years ago with nothing. And, you know, this is what the Lord has done in 3 years. We can only expect that the Lord is just going to multiply, not add to, but multiply what's going on. So praise the Lord. I have two agendas of being in the U.S., and that is, number one, is to raise awareness what's going on in Vietnam. Nobody knows anything about that. And we have taken somewhat of a risk of using the word Vietnam instead of Southeast Asia. It is most of the ministers that we work with have all been in jail or in prison at one point. And so it is challenging, but unless we get the name Vietnam out there, we're not going to have prayer partners for what we're doing. And we desperately need people to be praying for the work of Vietnam and partnering with us. So that's my first motive of being here. My second motive is I believe that the Lord has, this is what I felt in my spirit, my pastor confirmed it, that the Lord has sent me to churches to awaken and revive the ministry of intercession. That's a very, very important ministry of the church, especially in this day. So let's get into the scriptures and praise the Lord. It's good to be here. I feel very, very comfortable. So my wife will be praying the whole time. Praise the Lord. And of course, I need to acknowledge my wife and daughter. She's 13. Hallelujah. Pray for my family. And, you know, if you pray anything, I guess I would ask that you would pray that we would get this language very, very quickly. We've studied for many years, so it's going to have to come supernaturally. God's going to have to give it, and we believe He can. So pray for that. I'm going to go to Amos chapter 9, verses 13. I do want to say that the most important person in your life must be your pastor. It must be your pastor. Pastors are God sent. Yes, he is a man, but he has anointing of God, and he is a gift from God. Ephesians chapter 4 calls him a gift. Revelation calls him an angel. And God has given him certain anointings and giftings for you. Stay as close to your pastor in his best relationship as you can with your pastor. That is so, so critical. And, you know, if you believe that, you're lucky. If you don't believe that, you just need a couple trials and attacks and some satanic attacks on you, and then you will realize what I'm saying is very, very true. Get as close to your pastor as you can. And everybody say, amen. Don't let any attitudes, don't let anything that was said. I believe the spirit of the end time is a spirit of offense. Hallelujah. Don't let anything be taken out of offense. Okay? Don't let anything be taken out of offense. Have a good relationship with your pastor. That is very, very critical. Very critical. Everybody say amen. All right. In a transitioning time, I woke up out of a sleep. And when I woke up out of a sleep, I heard Amos 9:13. Amos 9:13. I woke up and I said, okay, go find my Bible. Anybody read the book of Amos? A few hands. Anybody read the book of Amos more than twice? Three times? Yeah. Most of us just don't go to the book of Amos that often. So when I heard Amos 9:13, I said, either I ate too much pizza or this is of God. And so when I flipped to Amos 9:13, I realized the Lord was speaking something to me in a transition point. I try not to preach sermons. I try to give a word from the Lord. I try to find out what God's saying, and I try to speak that and minister and not just preach good messages. And so from much prayer, this is what I feel like the Lord spoke to me to give to you. Amos 9:13, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed. This is a prophecy. We talked a little bit about that this morning. This is a prophecy that is saying the day will come where the plowman will overtake the reaper. The plowman will overtake the reaper. And what the prophecy is, by the time it's time to reap, there is somebody coming behind the reaper on his toes, on his heels, throwing seed where he just harvested. Hallelujah. That is the prophecy. I believe, this is my opinion, the most powerful person in all the world are intercessors. They are the most powerful people. I don't believe kings, presidents, I don't even believe preachers are the most powerful people. I believe intercessors are the most powerful people. I believe intercessors affect the whole entire world. And I believe this is true is because God trusts somebody that's not under the light, that gets the glory and gets the praise, but He entrusts His power to affect the world with somebody that's in the shadows of the corner, alone with God, with the heart of God, praying the will and the kingdom of God to pass. And no, they can't get the glory because nobody knows. But God entrusts them with the power to affect the world. I believe that. Hallelujah. I believe that. So this evening, I'm going to come into an agreement with every prayer that this church has ever prayed. I'm going to come into an agreement with every prophecy that's been given with your pastor and the angel of this city in preaching and praying what I feel the will of God is. I'm going to come into an agreement. We're all going to come into an agreement and alignment with that. And we're just going to see what God does. God is not natural. He is supernatural. Hallelujah. So if you leave here and you're not surprised, we've done it wrong. Hallelujah. I think our brother this morning said something about being surprised. God is just surprising me. Hallelujah. I was teaching on a Tuesday down in Florida at about 7 o'clock on a Bible study, and a prayer meeting broke out that did not end till 2 a.m. in the morning. People just interceding, and I can feel this church that doesn't happen. And I told you this morning that the average American altar call lasts about 5 minutes. When you start praying till 2 a.m. in the morning, oh my goodness, something's going to happen. Hallelujah. Something's going to happen. It is impossible to intercede and nothing happen. That's impossible. Why don't you lift your hands? Jesus, do exactly what you want to do here tonight. We give you our time. We give you our mind. We give you our attention. We engage our spirit with the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. With the will of God, this end time Gentile harvest you promised us. Every prophetic word, every prayer that's been prayed, the vision of this local pastor, we come into an agreement with, Father. And we say, as it is in heaven, Father, let it be on earth. As it is already foreordained in heaven for these individuals, for the body of Christ, and for Cleveland, Ohio, we say, let it be done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I do believe that one of the missing ministries of the church is intercession. It's intercession. Intercession, it's really something. It's really something. Not many people talk about it, and definitely people aren't teaching about it. It does get a little, if I can say, sloppy. It does get a little sloppy, and it does make people uncomfortable. But oh, the effect of it is unmeasurable. The effect of intercessory prayer is unmeasurable. Hallelujah. So let's talk about this. Amos chapter 9, verses 13. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. God sets a principle. He says, the earth, as the earth remains, there is seed time and there is harvest. There is cold and there is heat. There is summer and there is winter. There is day and there is night. And this shall not cease. This shall not cease. We understand seasons to some degree. That to everything there is a season. Here's what I realized about coming back to the U.S. Everybody is getting older. There's something that never changes. And that is change. Change just always happens. It's continue. It's always changing. Time is changing. You know, sometimes you meet somebody in a certain season of life and you judge them by that season they're in. And maybe they were going through a rough time and a rough season and you met them and you view them as though they're always in that season. But that's not true. The seasons of life always change. If you're going through a struggle today, you've been going through a struggle for a while, good news. Good news. Everything changes. Seasons change. It just came, so it will pass. Hallelujah. It came to pass. Hallelujah. Somebody say, amen. Hallelujah. So in life, there are seasons. In churches, there are seasons. Everything, there is a season. That's what the wise man said. He said, to everything, there is a season. There's a time for everything under the sun. Hallelujah. So don't judge God by a season that you're in. Don't judge the church by a season that you're in. Don't judge your pastor by a season that you're in. The church goes through seasons. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I have found in understanding timing and understanding seasons, it has helped me with a lot of frustration. Hallelujah. It has helped me with a lot of frustration. So the teaching of an intercessor is very, very emotional. Intercessor is very emotional. Hallelujah. What I wanted to say this morning is sometimes the loneliness that you feel is God drawing you to a private place of prayer. But when we feel alone, we go to social media, movies, entertainment, hanging out to drown out that emotion. But the emotion of an intercessor sometimes is lonely because God's trying to get you alone. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. It's a season. It's a season. And in understanding that, you can become more equipped with what to do in each season. What to do in each season. You know, we prophesy and we shout over the prophecies, but those prophecies do have a season. There's a preparing for the prophecy. You have to clear out the landing so the prophecy can come. Intercessory prayer digs out all this rocky ground, all these things that are keeping the prophecy from landing. That's what intercessory prayer does. Hallelujah. Somebody say, amen. Now, I will tell you that I have planted probably, oh, Lord Jesus, help me, probably 10 gardens in my life. I have failed all 10 times. I have failed all 10 times. One time I planted a pepper. I had no idea what I was doing. I kept watering that pepper. It kept getting bigger and bigger. Oh, it got so big. And our sister's saying, nope, that ain't how you do it. Hallelujah. Well, when I picked the one pepper, there was no spice, there was no heat to that pepper because I kept watering it. So when it comes to, seed time and harvest and watering and sun in the natural, I don't understand too well. I got a feeling, our sister says she's a good cook. I got a feeling she knows how to cook some peppers. Hallelujah. Jesus, when he talks to us about harvest time, and planting and watering and sun and reaping. And when he talks to us about the harvest time, he takes us to a very interesting place. He says, I must needs go to Samaria. Jesus, when he gives us the greatest revelation of harvest. Hallelujah. Everybody likes to eat, right? Hallelujah. That means you like a harvest. Now, my daughter said the other day, I want to go fishing. Well, we go to Kroger's if you want to go fishing. Hallelujah. And if you want to harvest, you go to Kroger's or whatever store to get your vegetables. Most of us aren't farmers here, all right? So we don't understand a lot of that. But Jesus, when he talks about harvest, he says, I must needs go through Samaria. And his disciples say to him, Jesus, we don't go to Samaria. Samaria is the worst of the worst of the worst. They are dogs there. The Jews actually thought that when you got to Samaria, you had to wash your feet because the dirt was filthy. So the Jews built a road that would go all the way around Samaria. But when Jesus gives us this revelation, he says, I've got to go to Samaria. And Jesus goes to Samaria, not for a crowd. Not for a crowd. Can I tell you, success is not how many people you fit in this building. That is not success. That's not success. And so Jesus goes to this place that everyone said, don't go to. It's the worst place. And Jesus sits down with the worst of the worst of the worst. Now, you don't want that person in your church. I mean, they have a bad reputation. They've been married so many times, and oh, they're with this other person they're not married to. I mean, they have a bad reputation. She has such a bad reputation that at the hottest part of the day, she goes and gets water. Now, in Vietnam, you know the hottest part of the day, you take a nap. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. You don't work at the hottest part of the day. She's working at the hottest part of the day to avoid people because of her bad reputation. And Jesus comes to the worst place and talks to the worst person and gives the greatest revelation and says to her, you can find God anywhere. You can touch God anywhere. All you've got to do is know the truth and get in the Spirit, and you can have a move of God anywhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What I'm saying is you can have a harvest anywhere. You can have a harvest at the worst place with the worst person at the worst time. If you can get in the Spirit and you've got a word of truth, you can have a harvest. The disciples come back and they said, Jesus, what are you doing at this place with this woman? We've got to go. And Jesus says to his disciples, the people that come to church every Sunday, that should have been sensitive enough that we don't push anybody away. The broken are the most welcome. The uncomely, the people that we say don't fit, they are the ones that exactly fit perfect. They fit perfect. Not the righteous, not the self-righteous, not those that have it all together. The imperfect people fit in this church. They're the most valuable people. Hallelujah. Jesus says to them, he says, say not. Stop saying. You've been in church a long time. You've been praying a lot of prayers. You have a lot of examples. You have many examples. Stop saying the same thing. Stop saying the same thing. It's the seasons change. I know that's the way they used to do it, but we're not doing that anymore. God has speed up the time. Now, you can judge a nation, you can judge the spirit of a nation by what you see in the natural. Whatever you see in the natural is an image of what you cannot see in the spiritual. What we see in the natural is that culture is going so fast. Time is going so fast. People are growing up so fast. Things are changing so fast. It is a sign in the spiritual that the seasons are starting to speed up. Where we used to say it had to be done like this, and revival was just filling this building up. That's what we used to say. Stop saying that. Stop saying that's the way harvest is. Stop saying 4 months. Stop saying a 12-week Bible study. Stop saying I have to become friends with them and then we have to develop a relationship, and over time, they'll come to church, and over time being in church, they'll receive the Holy Ghost, and over time they'll get baptized. And in many, 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 many years, God can use them to do something powerful. Stop saying that. I know that's the way it was in the past, and there was a time for that, but stop saying that. Stop saying that. Don't let your future be bound by a past season. Hallelujah. Now praise God for everything the fathers have done for us and the pastors before have done to lead us to this point, but this is a different day. This is a different day, and the gospel doesn't change. You must repent. You must be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. And you must receive the Holy Spirit, or you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That never changed. That's the forever settled word of God. But what God is doing with this message has changed. It has changed. Hallelujah. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. This morning I only had half a cup of coffee. I had to pause to let you say amen. I had my full cup of coffee, so I'm not pausing. I need you in agreement. Hallelujah. I need you in agreement. There is a revelation to this. There is a revelation to this. To start thinking outside of, if we could say, the box. My pastor received a prophecy years ago. And the prophecy was, the prophet turned around to my pastor and he says, "How many people do you want in your harvest?" He said, 1,000. And the prophet said, "Is that it?" He said, 2,000. And on Monday, my pastor was praying and he said, the Lord rebuked him. And the Lord said, "When I gave you the prophecy of thousands, why did you say in this local church? Why did you see in this local church?" And so my pastor started to change his mind. And we reached over many, many thousands, but it was not in the local church. The local church did not grow in members at all. But there were many other daughter church, and there were many missionaries sent out from that. What I'm saying is, revival's coming. All of the prophecies are true, but the prophecies normally never look like what you think they're going to look like. All you've got to see is it's going to happen. The details are never the way we see it. Never. Joseph, I'm going to cause you to rule a nation. And Joseph sees it a certain way. And God says, no, go to Potiphar's house. No, go to the dungeon. No, no, no. And God leads him into the fulfillment of the prophecy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I tell you? Stop saying it's going to be like the past seasons. Stop identifying the promises of God like past seasons. This is a different day. This is a different day. I believe that God is going to raise up young people. Very young people. Hallelujah. There's wisdom. There's understanding. There's strength right there. There's strength and motivation. When wisdom and understanding links with strength and motivation, it's unstoppable. It's unstoppable. I met the guy last week that started P7. Y'all know what P7 is? He started P7 before there was a P7. He called it P180. He was 13 years old, and his dad said he was pastoring 130 kids in his high school. He would call him to come over to the house for prayer. He held meetings with them. He was a 13-year-old pastor to 130 kids. I'm telling you, that doesn't look like past seasons. That does not look like past seasons. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. The promise that God gave to me and the vision that He gave to me was what I talked about this morning. Four generations. Four generations. I do not want to go to Vietnam and start an American church with thousands of people. I don't want to do that. I don't see that in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. They went from house to house every single day. So we don't do Sunday church is probably one of our least results out of all of our week. It's Monday, it's Tuesday, it's Wednesday, it's Thursday, it's Friday, it's Saturday where we have our main results. And every single day, what I noticed is when you start preaching the gospel every day, people start coming to the Lord every single day. It happens every day. But if we take the old season of only Sunday, then all we have is Sunday conversion. And all we have is Sunday Christians. But I'm looking for an everyday Christian. An everyday Christian. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the vision was, how do I get this beyond me? How do I get this to where I'm not doing everything? But the gospel is outliving me. It's going farther than what I can do. So I told you this morning, I had this vision and I kept preaching. Four generations. We baptized nobody. We baptized nobody in 3 months. But I was saying four generations. Four generations. We're going to baptize somebody that's going to baptize somebody. They're going to baptize somebody that's going to baptize somebody. And lives are going to be changed. I was saying this. I already see it in my mind before we baptize anybody. Of course, we baptized one. But on Saturday, I would have three pastors in my house. We would pray for many hours, and then we would teach for many hours, and we would talk about how to get the gospel to four generations. Hallelujah. How to get the gospel to where people are living. You know, the principle of the gospel is go, not come. It's not come to church. It's not come to church. It's go to them. You are the church. Take it to them. Hallelujah. So that was the vision. When it finally happened in 9 months, when it finally happened, we had a great young translator, and she was wild. Oh, man, she was an intercessor. She was an intercessor. One of the most powerful people. Out of control, too, at the same time. Hallelujah. When we were teaching that Saturday Bible study, she starts screaming and shouting and dancing. And, you know, sometimes you see some different things in Vietnam that you don't see in America. And so I let her throw her fit, and I said, well, what are you shouting about? What are you so excited? She said, do you know we just hit four generations? I started counting it up. I said, yeah, you are right. We have hit four generations. Yeah, that's exciting. The reason I wasn't shouting is because I already saw it before I saw it. I already saw it. I was shouting before I saw anything. I knew it was going to happen when we had nothing. Hallelujah. This is a different type of a season. This is a different type of a season. I started going through today. I made sure I wrote it down. But out of those four generations, when we preached the gospel and what we saw at baptism, what we saw is those that were demonically, they were demon possessed with spirits. We would see them be set free and many mental illnesses. When they would come out of the water, they would point at their mind, and in Vietnamese, through translation, they would say, my mind is clear. My mind is clear. The what was there, and the pastor would come back to me the next week and say, you know that person, they used to be crazy, but they are totally normal now. People are getting out of the water saying, man, that back pain I had for all those years. Now, here's what we do, because this is a different season. You know, we had one of the first things. Here's what I learned from China. When you are baptized in Jesus' name, you make a vow. If they come to your house and take you to jail, if they say they're going to kill you, will you commit to living for Jesus Christ? And they commit to that, and then they're baptized. So we started doing the same thing. We said, okay, now that you are baptized, do not go to sleep at night until you tell somebody. Just tell somebody anything. Just open your mouth and say anything. Everyone is a preacher of the gospel. That's what I believe. That's what I believe. I know this is a new season. Yeah. Yeah. Past seasons, the preachers were reserved to a select few. But this day, I believe everyone's a preacher of the gospel. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. That was not the apostles. Believers are preachers of the gospel. And so here's a couple of scriptures. I want you to read them. I want you to ask the people if they believe in Jesus Christ. Repent of their sins, and then find water and baptize them. And we are seeing brand new converts that are going and baptizing people, and just miraculous miracles are happening. So I wrote it down today. In four generations, we have baptized in China, in Taiwan, Hong Kong, the Philippines, Indonesia, Japan, Australia, the U.S., and Canada. Hallelujah. Now that's a different type of harvest. That type of harvest cannot fit in a building. That type of harvest is going farther than what we know it's going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm getting emails even this week of people in different countries saying, I've heard about you. I've heard about this message of baptism in Jesus' name. I'm coming to Vietnam. I want to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I was in that Saturday meeting, that same Saturday meeting. We pray for hours and hours and hours and hours. And I remember this pastor that I was working with. He was a knucklehead. Y'all know what a knucklehead is? Y'all know any knuckleheads? They ain't here. I know they're not in Cleveland. That's for sure. Hallelujah. But I was working with this pastor. He was a knucklehead, man. I prayed for him and prayed for him and prayed for him. And we were praying. And I don't even know what came, but I just began to prophesy that this man, your church is going to be filled with children. God is going to send you Buddhist children. That was on a Saturday. The next the next day, Sunday, he has five members in his church. But that Sunday, they're all the Buddhist kids from the neighborhood, 40 of them gathered in his church. Nobody invited him. The Spirit of the Lord drawled 40 Buddhist kids, and 10 of those Buddhist kids received the Holy Ghost. Never heard anything about Jesus Christ. Their hearts was open. Do you want to receive the Spirit of God inside of you? Just open your heart. These kids begin to say, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Just a matter of time before they're speaking in tongues. Praise God. The next week, their parents got so angry, said, don't go back there. The kids stood outside the church and just tried to listen. You got to go step out there and pray for them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can I tell you, the harvest is white. The harvest is ready. People are ready to come into the kingdom of God. But stop. Stop saying it's going to be like this. Well, the last person I said no, they said no. And the last person rejected me. Stop bringing that season into this season. Stop doing it. This is a new season. This is a new season. We've got to have an anointed mind. An anointed mind for this season. Hallelujah. Everybody say amen. Amen. Here's what I noticed. Every church goes through a season of harvest. But in every church, there is somebody here that is at harvest every single time. Every single time in somebody here, there's a harvest. If it's not in you, it's in them. If it's not in them, it's in you. If it's not in you, it's in them. Somebody in this church is at a harvest time. Here's what I've seen in Vietnam. So we work with many groups, but we give our focus to whatever group is at harvest because everyone at some point is in harvest. When you came to our District 7 church, we were not in harvest. We were not in harvest. We were going through a low point. But I had another church that I'm working with and those that were teaching that are at harvest time. And what I have noticed is every time in Vietnam, one of our churches is at harvest time. And what I mean is every single day, people are in Bible studies. People are getting baptized in the name of Jesus. People are being healed and set free. People are receiving the Holy Ghost. And it happens every single day for a season. And then after that season, they just begin to teach and disciple. And that harvest will go to another church. And we give our efforts there and every single day. It happens every single time. Every single time. Here's what I'm saying. That the church goes through seasons. You go through seasons. But somebody in here right now is at a harvest time. It's a harvest time. And Jesus said, stop saying 4 months. Stop saying you need an evangelist to come preach a week revival. You are the harvest. The seed is in you. When we say four generations, once you harvest a field, the seed for the next field is in that harvest. And the seed for the next field is in that harvest. And the seed, the next harvest is inside of you. The next harvest is inside of you. Can I tell you as a church, don't get jealous of who God is using, but link up with them. Is God using you? Is the Spirit of God working through you? Is God using you to draw people? I'm going to get close to that harvest. I'm going to work with that harvest. I'm not going to be jealous of it. I'm going to work with it because my harvest is coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. It's a different season. It's a different season. And our mind cannot be anointed with an anointing of the past. But our mind has to be anointed with a fresh anointing of now. Of now. Here, let me tell you this. I was praying a couple months ago. And the Lord spoke to me and said, what is so powerful about Acts 2:38? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I said, Jesus, the most powerful thing about that scripture is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord said to me, that's not it. I said, okay, Jesus, the most powerful thing about that scripture is when you are baptized, your sins are totally forgiven. God doesn't remember anymore. And the Lord says, that's not it. I said, okay, Jesus, it must be repent then. And the Lord said, that's not it either. That's said, all right, I've ran out of answers now. What do you? And the Lord spoke to me very clearly. Then Peter said, that's the most powerful thing, because baptism has no power unless somebody's talking about it. And the Holy Ghost has no power unless somebody's going to talk about it. Somebody has to open their mouth. Can I tell you, the harvest is in your mouth. The harvest is in your mouth. The harvest is in your mouth. If you will open your mouth, God will use your words to bring life to somebody else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I believe that. Here, look at this. Mark chapter 5. Y'all doing okay? You know, I don't preach in Vietnam. I just teach. So, if I'm not yelling and spitting, I'm just teaching, okay? All right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 5. This is a very powerful scripture. Jesus gets off the boat with his disciples. He meets this man that is no clothes on. He's cutting himself. He's got a suicidal spirit. His name is called Legions. He's got some 3,000, 5,000 devils inside of him. 5,000 devils inside of him. When Jesus comes to the land, the man runs to Jesus and he begins to worship him. And Jesus casts the devil out of the man. Now here's the powerful thing. The man said, Jesus, let me stay with you. This is what I would say for us. Jesus, let me stay in camp meeting. Let me stay in revival service. Don't let me leave this revival service. Let me stay here. Jesus responds to the man and he says, no, you can't stay with me. Go and tell your friends what I have done for you. The point of revival and camp meeting is not that you will stay there, but you will take it and you will go with it. You will go with it. Hallelujah. And the scripture says that he departed and began to publish in Decapolis. Decapolis. What that means is 15 cities. 15 cities. Look up Decapolis. The word means 15 cities. This man had one encounter with Jesus Christ, and he left that one encounter and he spread it to 15 cities. 15 cities. Now this was the guy that they put up in the tombs and they said, he'll never be anything. We've got to get him away from us, out of the city. He was an outcast. He was a nobody. They didn't like him. He doesn't belong here. But one experience with Jesus, he affected 15 cities. 15 cities. Can I tell you? What Jesus would like to do, you cannot study down. You have to have an experience with God. When you pray that experience down, you can affect cities. Hallelujah. You can affect nations. And the Lord says, the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. Jesus, when the woman left with her one experience and brought the city to him, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. What do? We have no labors. Nobody's opening their mouth. Nobody's saying, ma'am, you can be saved. You can be saved. I'm telling you, God can pull you out of where you're at. You can be saved. Sir, I'm telling you, when you go to that water in Jesus' name and you say, Jesus, forgive me of everything I've done wrong, and you go down in the name of Jesus, your life will totally be changed. I can tell you how it happened to me. I can tell you how it happened to my cokehead father that went down in the name of Jesus. I can tell you how it happened to the man in Vietnam that used to put a gun to people's heads and blow their brains out. And then he came crying and saying, I gotta be baptized. I gotta be baptized. I said, repent of your sins and I'll baptize you. When he went down in that water, he just began to cry and shout, oh God. He didn't want to get out of the water. I'm telling you, that has so much power. People are waiting for this. People want this. You know how I know? Because you're here. Because I'm here. People do want this. The only problem, nobody's saying anything. Nobody's saying anything. We have no labors. Jesus, before he makes this statement, the scripture says, he is moved.
He is moved with compassion. He does not have compassion. He is moved by it. He is moved by it. Sometimes we hear these things and we say, oh God, I want to do something. I want to do something. And that's all that happens. But we're never moved to do anything. We're not moved to do anything. A burden that doesn't move you is not a burden. It's just an emotion. It's just a feeling. You hear me? A burden and a word from God that does not move you to action, it wasn't a word from the Lord. Because when the Spirit of the Lord moved, then He spoke. When you have a move of God, it comes with a word of God and says it's good. Things are moving. Things are changing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You hear what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? Jesus not only had compassion, He was moved by compassion. He was so moved by it. Here's what He did. Pray for laborers in the harvest. There's so many people that want to be changed, but we don't have anybody to tell them how to be changed. We don't have anybody to tell them life can be so much better. I'm telling you, that emptiness you go to sleep with, you don't have to keep going to sleep like that. You don't have to keep, look at my mom always told me, she said, boy, you have a God-shaped hole in your heart. And only God can fill it. And I went to alcohol and relationships and parties looking to fill that void. But my mom was right. She said only God can do it. What the alcohol, what the weed, the coke, the LSD and all the drugs, what it couldn't fulfill, Jesus Christ can fill. But you know, the gospel only has power when it's spoken. When it's spoken. Hallelujah. The burden of a lost world has to move us to open our mouth. Open our mouth. Here's what we do. I go in that third floor, that little room, and I pray and I pray and I cry and I weep. Oh God, don't let this people be lost. Don't let this people go to hell. And then I get on my motorbike and I teach and I teach and I teach. When I go back home, I say, Jesus, I don't know if they understood me. I don't know if I taught well. I don't know if I said the right thing. But Jesus, just take anything I've said and move upon them. Just move upon them. Just move upon them. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would say it is through prayer that we are seeing the type of harvest that we are seeing. It is even opening up now. We have a new place towards the borders of Cambodia. God has already shown us we will take this city. It will spread into neighboring countries. And it's already moving that way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I read you the scripture again. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. Brother, come here. Here's how we know it. Here's a good-looking guy. Look at the people. Hallelujah. That's a good-looking man. You got a girlfriend yet? Okay. Hallelujah. Up for grabs. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Here's how we know it. Within every harvest, step over here. Within every harvest, you have to have a seed. He's going to be Brother Seed, okay? Brother Seed. Brother Seed. Brother Seed. Hallelujah. And so, in a harvest, you have to have a seed. So, you know how to sow seed, right? Okay. All right, brother. Come on. Come on. You're going to be brother water. And every, you know how to water? Yeah, there you go. Man, you've done this before. You guys are good around here. So, every harvest, we understand you have to have a seed and you have to have water, but you also in a harvest. Come on. This is brother work. You're working, man. Let me fill them arms. Oh, man, you got to do some work, bro. Hallelujah. You can't just have the seed. You can't just have water. But somebody's got to work it. Somebody's got to work it. And all of this is for the purpose of, let me get another brother. I don't want to just have one. Here, come up here, sister. Beautify this. No, you don't want to? You good? Come on. You're feeling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How old are you? Okay, you shouldn't have a boyfriend then. All right. So we have seed. We have, what are you, water? We have work because we want to harvest. Harvest. Harvest is pretty, isn't it? Hallelujah. Everybody clap for harvest. All right. Praise God. This is the way we know it. This is the way we know it. Y'all doing what you're doing? What are you doing? You're sowing seed. You're watering. You got to get down that man. Who's your parent? Where's your parents at? Hallelujah. Get this boy to work. I felt his arms. Hallelujah. It felt like video game arms, man. He got to get some muscle. Come on. Plow that field. Plow that field. And all this is for harvest. This is what it's all for. If we don't do this, we starve to death. If we don't do this, we don't eat. And we all like to eat. Can I get an amen? Amen. Pentecostals love to eat. Hallelujah. After hours, too. Praise God. I think I've gained weight since I've been here. Probably. So all this is in preparation. We know how this works. This happens every season. We have it down. We know we're going to want, sister, you're going to want the pepper, right? What else y'all like? Cabbage? Man. Tomatoes? Oh, we got tomatoes. Corn, definitely in Ohio, corn. But if you're going to eat the corn on the cob, you've got to have the seed, you've got to have the water, and you've got to have the work. Hallelujah. You've got to have the work. Praise the Lord. So we can have the corn on the cob. Praise God. And all the other things they make out of corn. I don't even know. But the Lord says, stop saying this. Stop saying seed, water, work, harvest. Stop saying that. That's the way you know it. But stop saying that. There's a different day coming. And water, we thank you for everything you've done, but we don't need you. We don't need you. I'm not talking you. I'm just talking water, okay? That's not personal. That's not personal. And work, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for your time, buddy. Praise the Lord. But the Lord says there's coming a day where this is all you're going to have. You're going to have a seed, and you're going to have a harvest. Here, let me take over. I want to be the harvest. You're a pretty harvest. Good job. But the Lord, praise the Lord, she get more handcuffs. The Lord is saying the day is coming where you will just have the seed and the harvest. The plowman and the reaper. The plowman and the reaper. In different translations says like this, that as you sow the seed, as you sow the seed, the reaper is on his heels. The reaper's on his heels. And so by the time he sows the seed, I'm coming to harvest it. But out of that harvest comes another seed. And from that seed comes another harvester. And from that, and it just keeps going so fast. One translation says, it will happen so fast, your head will spin. It will happen so fast, your head will spin. By the time you think about sharing the gospel, they will say, I want to come to the Lord. I need to hear what you've got to say. Before you think about sharing the gospel, they're saying, can you teach me a Bible study? What do you got that I need something. I need something. They will be coming to you with your message saying, I've heard about this baptism. I've heard about this Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, it is happening. It is happening. That scripture, the prophecy of Amos, is the plowman will overtake the reaper. That God is speeding up seasons so quickly that by the time you throw the seed, it's already harvesting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That will happen for those that believe it, those that expect it, and prepare for it. Praise God. That is what we expect in Vietnam. I am looking for that. Okay, you just came to the Lord. You go share the gospel. And we're seeing all sorts of miracles. The prophecy is being fulfilled. The prophecy is being fulfilled. It is not bound by an age or a person. It's not bound. It's for whosoever will. Praise the Lord. Somebody say amen. I close with this. This was not a book or a scripture that I read often. When the Lord woke me up and said Amos 9:13 was very clear. And I read this scripture. It was a promise of God. It was a promise of God. I began to study it and I understood what it meant. But I started to look into where did this prophecy come from? This is a prophecy from God. Where did it come from? Who was Amos? Amos means burden. It means burden. It means burden. When Amos gave this prophecy, it was so powerful. But that prophecy came with a weight. And it came with a burden. A couple services ago, we were praying, and this pastor, newly pastor, he came. And he said, "Brother, will you pray for me that God would give me what you're talking about?" I said, "I will pray for you. But this type of harvest comes with a great burden. There is a great weight and a great heaviness that comes with this. With every great harvest, there is a price to pay." Can I say the same things that Jesus Christ said? That if you will follow Him, you have to deny yourself and you have to take up your cross. That example of the harvest is very powerful, it's very true, and it's very exciting to see that that only happens to those that have the burden and are willing to pay the price. Can I call the body of Christ? I know this will sound unusual. I know this will sound unusual, and I don't hear anybody say it but Jesus. Can I call the body of Christ to death? Except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it will not produce. Paul said, "Death worketh in us so that life can work in you." Can I tell you what the people of Vietnam, as God heals them and God changes them, and many powerful things are happening, churches, and we're just impacting, many things are happening. What they don't understand is those 4, 6, 10-hour prayer meetings where I feel death working in me. Oh, God. Oh, God, if I have to die so they can live. If I have to die so they can live. Oh, God. I will deny myself. I will take up my cross. If I can talk to you young people for a minute. I started asking pastors, how often do you talk about being a martyr? How often do you talk about dying for Jesus Christ? He said, "We never talk about it." I said, "Why can I not stop thinking about it? I am not standing in the line to be a martyr, but I am not getting out of the line either. The vision is so great. If it's going to be fulfilled, somebody's going to have to die. If Jesus is going to reach the world, He's going to have to die. Motives, desires, future, ambitions, everything you want, it's got to die. It's got to die." When we came to the Lord Jesus Christ, we said, "Whatever you want, not my will, but thy will be done. I give you my life. What I've done with it so far has been a mess. I don't want to be in control anymore. I don't want to live for myself anymore. Jesus, let something in me die so that others could live. That when they're playing video games and they're surfing the net and they're doing all of these things, watching their sports, and going to all their entertainment, I'm alone with God pleading, not my will, but thy will be done." For the joy that was set before Jesus Christ, he prayed. Not 1 hour, not 2 hours. He prayed 3 hours. "Oh God, not my will. Not my will." I am for shouting. I am for rejoicing. But what happened to the gift of intercession? What happened to the ministry of intercession? If my family's gonna live, I've got to die. If my drug addict father is gonna come to the Lord, I've got to lay on the floor and cry out to God, "Turn his hard heart." while all the other church people go home, I'm going to lay on that floor and say, God, my dad can't go to hell. He can't go to hell. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll pray however I gotta pray. I'll fast and give up whatever I've got to do. I'll die so he can live. I'll die so he can live. I'll die so my brother can live. Hallelujah. This is not church games. This is salvation. It's real. It's real. It's real. This is the purpose that God has sent me here, to wake up the gift of intercession. You will impact the world if you give yourself over to it. Not many people will do it, but if you do it, you will change the course of the world. You will change the course of the world. God is inviting you. If you're going to be a Christian, you've got to be like Christ. And he went to that garden often. And he prayed until great drops of blood fell out of his skin to the ground. Not my will. Not my will. I end with this before we pray. At the table today, I felt like God put something in my mind. And that was, I feel like sometimes the American church views people, a person, as a member of that church. I've stopped doing that. I've started to look at people as cities and nations, because inside of you is a nation. Inside of you is families and communities and cities and nations. When I first came to the church and I prayed like this, my pastor would have never thought that we would be doing what we're doing. But it was in me the whole time. And the Lord brought the scriptures where Rebekah had two nations inside of her. And the fight was so great. There is a struggle for everyone to live for God. There is a struggle. We have to contend for the faith. The devil just does not sit by and let you make good decisions. He fights with you. But for those that have nations in them, the fight is greater. The fight is greater. And I want to tell some of you, listen to me. I'm going to speak in the Holy Ghost that in you is a nation. And that's why you are fighting so hard. That in you is a nation. You have a ministry to impact a nation, and you are fighting more than anybody else is fighting. The question is, will you die? Will you die? At this altar is death. At this altar is where you deny yourself and you take up your cross. It doesn't belong to the old or the young. It belongs to whosoever will. You can be as young or as old as you want. I invite you to intercession. I invite you to impact the world. Nobody will know your name, but all of the angels will take notice of your prayers. All of the angels. When I was a kid, 18 years old, a message like this caused me to cry out, "Oh God! Oh God! Pastor, don't worry. I'll close the door. But I can't leave this. I can't leave this. I have family members that are lost. I can't be done at 8:00. I can't be done with everybody else. I want it too much. I can't pray like everybody else. I want it too much. I want my world to be saved. I want the drug addict to be free. I want the drug addict to be free. I want people to experience the joy of the Spirit that you gave me, Jesus. Whatever I've got to do, however I've got to pray, oh God, Oh God, hear the cry of individuals that represent families and children and moms and dads, grandparents, relatives that are lost. Oh God, the cry of the Spirit. I sought for an intercessor. The cry of the Holy Ghost is, I'm seeking for an intercessor. Somebody cry out for the lost. The Spirit of God is seeking. Oh. Oh. Oh God. Oh God. The harvest is past, and my people are still not saved. Oh, that my eyes were a fountain of tears, that I could weep day and night for the lost. They're lost and they don't know it. The God of this world has blinded their eyes and they don't know it. They don't know they're lost. But oh God, let me pray a prayer that will waken them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, young people. Give yourself over to intercession. You will become the most powerful person in this church. Give yourself over to intercession. The things that God will do through you. The things that God will show you. Oh, give yourself over to it. Give yourself over to it. Jesus, I am praying the grace of God to intercede. I am praying the grace of God to intercede. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh God, restore the intercession to the church. Restore the intercession to the church, oh God. Oh God, oh God. Every prophecy. Oh God, the will of God for Cleveland. The will of God, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Don't let them die lost. Don't let them die lost. Hallelujah. When I was young and I heard preaching like this and I wasn't moved, I knew I lost my sensitivity, and I said, God, I'm not going to eat until I get my sensitivity back. When I was young and I couldn't pray the way I should for the lost, I would begin to see my brother going to hell for eternity. And that would move me to pray. I couldn't stand the thought of seeing my brother go to hell. If he rejects Jesus Christ, if he rejects the gospel, he's going to be lost. And I can't stand to think that. Oh God, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Oh God, change his hard heart. Oh God, let his heart become soft again. Let his heart become soft again. I lay down this microphone. I join you in prayer. With whatever intensity God gives you to pray, Pray it. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I don't want you to quit so soon. I don't want you to quit praying so soon. Inside of you is giftings. And inside of you is callings. It's already inside of you. You have to give birth to it. You have to give birth to it. It's inside of you, but you have got to pray it out. You've got to pray it out. You've got to give birth to that calling. It's in you. It's in you. It's in you. You've got to push. For when Zion travailed, she gave birth. There are ministries that will only come through intercession. It will only come through travail. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Find how much you're willing to suffer. Find how much you're willing to give of yourself. And cross the line and give it all. Give it all. Come on, some of you are holding back. You know God has been talking to you. You know God has put something in you. You've been afraid to talk about it. You haven't shared it with anybody. But you know it's in you. You know it's in you. And you've been weighing whether you're going to pay the price. The Holy Ghost is saying, pay the price. Travail it out. Come on. Travail it out. Travail it out. Pray it out of your spirit. It's in you. It's in you, Rebecca. It's in you. You've got nations in you. That fight is a great calling inside of you. That you've got to travail it out. You've got to travail it out. Oh God. Oh God, I give you everything. Oh God, I'm not going back. I am not going back. I'm not going back. Oh God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. I can guarantee you when this church first started in 1957, I can guarantee you there was the cry of mothers that interceded. I want to know in 2019, is that same type of prayer still in the church? Is it still here? Are there still women of prayer that know how to travail and know how to weep? Hallelujah. It's got to be here. It's got to be here. It's got to be here. We can't lose what we started with. We can't lose what we started with. It's what my mother prayed that brought me here. And it will not stop with me. It will not stop with me. And it can't stop with you. Oh God. Oh God. Something's got to break. Something's got to break in the spirit. Something's got to break in this church. Oh God, something's got to break. Something's got to break. It's got to break. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.